You're listening to a podcast of spurious morality.
Hello and welcome to a podcast of spurious morality. I'm Johnston and this week I'm joined by Will. Hello, Will.
Hello there.
And we're picking up something we started a couple of months ago now, actually. But very rudely, the BBC decided to broadcast 8 new episodes of Doctor Who, and we sort of felt as though we should be talking about those. But we're returning to our Big Finish roots this week. And we are picking up where we left off on an episode that went online start of April, where we discussed the 11th Doctor Chronicles, or specifically the 11th Doctor and Valerie, those four sets. I think we agreed it was Series 7V, didn't we?
Yeah, that's the name that they use internally as well, like the fan name, as it were.
Yeah. Which I like, so we decided to stick with. We did have Connor then. We don't have Connor now. He's off busy doing Connor things, but we're going to finish the series. So we did the first two sets last time. We're sort of generally in agreement this is a pretty good run, really, aren't we? Like, it's a nice, coherent, in the style of what Doctor Who was about 10 years ago. Sort of series. It very much does sort of fit into the 11th Doctor's era. We've got 13 episodes plus a Christmas special, or sort of. So yeah, we're picking up from where we were, and I believe we are up to Spirit of the Season, which is the first episode in the third set.
Yes,
which is the Christmas episode. It even has a Christmas episode in the middle. This is just so Series 7, it's great. And this one also kind of uses the Clara storyline to quite good effect. You know, the Doctor thinks he's found Clara, but he hasn't, which is a little bit of a running theme, but not a massive one. I kind of like the fact that these sets do their own thing. They don't just have him searching for Clara. It's almost like a distraction from searching for Clara, which is where the TV series was up to at the point this is set. But yeah, Spirit of the Season, sort of weird, creepy Christmas episode. It gives us a excuse to bring back Valerie's mother. And we get to sort of explore that a little bit more, because it certainly was explored in, particularly in the first set, the fact that Valerie's mother was killed. But I don't think we got the full impact of it. I think we get to play with that a little bit more here. So talk to us about Spirit of the Season, Will.
Okay. So I suppose, first of all, it was nice to just get a Christmas special at all. I just like this idea that they really tried to go for just a full series with a Christmas special. And it just adds to the sort of the feel of it that you're getting, like a proper extra series of Doctor Who that we didn't get. So just that by itself was quite nice. So, yeah, a few things. First of all, I seem to recall it opens with the Doctor and Valerie being quite chummy, which is, again, another good reason why they put Broken Hearts in there. It wouldn't surprise me if they heard that they listened back to the end of Curiosity Shop and then the start of this and said, well, we probably need to put something there. As for the story itself, I promise I won't talk about Broken Hearts anymore. I enjoyed this one. I felt that it was a good fun use of the Christmassy ideas, and I enjoyed the characters that they brought in. What I found was, we got this. We start getting this episode about people facing their fears, which is it's a bit like the God Complex. That might be a comparison that you draw while listening to it. And I was enjoying it, but not necessarily sort of loving it. But similarly to sort of House of Masks, which I believe was Georgia Cook's other episode, that one I felt ended on quite a nice emotional note. And again, on this one, when they start, around the climax, when they start talking about how, Clara or the Archeon or what have you starts thinking that they're going to sort of wilt under the pressure, and actually they start talking about how they draw strength from the pain and things like that, and they think about the good things, and the whole bit about Harper and her missing sister, where she looks under the tablecloth and there's all loads of stuff written from her sister or whatever. Overall, I found that quite touching and quite emotional, and I thought they'd once again, which is not uncommon for this series, managed to just get some wring some nice character drama out of it. As you touched on, it was nice to hear from Valerie's mum again. I think there was still it doesn't feel, like they've dragged her out too much. I think there was more to discuss there. I also like that the episode doesn't try and make it doesn't go down a route of having you think that like Valerie's going to save her mum or anything. It's pretty clear very early on that she's not going to be saved, and Valerie's mum even comes to that conclusion pretty quickly, and it's just Valerie having to sort of to work through that and get over that. One thing that about the episode that didn't bother me but might bother some other people is obviously Clara is not voiced by a 9-year-old girl. She's voiced by an adult. And I thought it was done quite well, but I could understand other people finding it a little bit sort of shrill, shall we say. But overall, it didn't bother me. I just checked, it was Becky Wright who did Clara. And on that Clara front, actually, you mentioned, that this series is ostensibly set during the search for Clara, but they don't mention it too much, and I think that was a very good idea, because even though, of course, like they don't, like Big Finish do not have Jenna Coleman, if they kept mentioning it, Big Finish fans would convince themselves if there was a mention every episode that she was going to come back, and that would be something. So I think it's probably best to have it in the background, because in storyline he is looking for her right now, but also to just do their own thing, I think was a very good idea. And then finally we get some nice touches about the darkness of the Doctor, which we've seen a little bit before in Curiosity Shop, and which is going to play into really the finale as we see, later on. So overall, I think quite an effective episode.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of the best stories of the series, but I don't think it's bad. I mean, I don't think this series has a bad story, to be perfectly honest with you. But it does what the Christmas special idea needs to do, and it kind of does ground us back into the world of TV 11th Doctor. We have drifted from it over two sets because this series, as we've said, is doing its own thing. But yeah, it's a nice, decent episode, full of some pretty good ideas. That character work is in there, and it's. I think we've agreed already. We said this a million times in the last episode. It is the character work that makes this series stand out. We get some real depth in characterization here that isn't standard for Doctor Who in general. Not just Big Finish, but it just dares to be slightly different, which I guess is all I've got to say about this one. So let's move on to All's Fair, which is the next episode. This one is another sort of quite heavy storyline one. If there's one thing Spirit of the Season does, is it kind of gives us a bit of a break from the storyline. And now we are well and truly back into it. And it sort of feels as though really from this point, we are just sort of hurtling towards the end of the series. There's no real break. I know that the next episode, Sins of the Flesh, isn't sort of particularly storyline heavy, but it kind of feels as though that's it. We're in this sort of cycle that leads to the end of the series from this point onwards. This is the one where it all gets a little bit sort of timey-wimey. You know, there's questions about Valerie's survival. And to be honest, I genuinely thought this series was going to kill Valerie. I was actually quite surprised when we got the happy ending at the end of it, because I really did think it was sort of heading towards somewhat of a tragic ending. And I guess they kind of, they played on that idea, I guess, a little bit. I think that was probably the intent. And this is a story that actually does quite a bit of work towards setting that up. We have got sort of a few recurring characters in this one. Rowanna obviously being the main one, and sort of becomes a bigger part of the series as of this. But all in all, it's, you know, it's a decent setting. It's a decent story. Bit timey-wimey, very heavy on the storyline front. The only sort of niggle I have about that, and it is a niggle, it feels like I'm really picking here, but it kind of, the whole episode kind of wraps up about 10 minutes early, and then it just throws in a lot of the character work right at the end, and it kind of, I don't know, on first listen, it just kind of felt like a bit of a jolt, like the story stops, it ends 10 minutes before the end of the running time, and then we just kind of have a big pile of character work thrown in, and just sort of, you know, the nature of the story kind of lends itself to that, but I always wonder if it could have been done a little bit more organically. But like I say, that's a teeny tiny little nitpick. I'm amazed it's taken Doctor Who this long to get to the Chicago World Fair. Seems like a really, really obvious setting. And I think around the time this came out, there was also an episode of Loki that used it as a setting as well. I seem to remember them being more or less at the same time. So yeah, an obvious setting for Doctor Who, one that I'm surprised it's taken us this long to get to. Go ahead, Will.
Okay, yeah, so All's Fair, we get like a big Moffat-y episode. It's probably the best way to describe it. I think, I don't know if Steve Moffat has ever heard any of these, but if he has, he could probably get to the bit with Valerie's first date being disturbed by her future husband and think, oh, I could have done that. I think he probably would have quite enjoyed that. Overall, I really enjoyed this episode, and I was really impressed by it as well, because I think if you describe All's Fair to someone, it sounds like it would be a complete mess, because you've got the thing about, you know, monsters running around Chicago, and you've got Arabella Hendricks coming back, and you've got Hayden and the Lockwood Foundation and Rowanna getting turned into a monster and Valerie dying and whatever, and you just think, well, that's not going to work. But actually, I think it does manage to work really quite effectively. And I really enjoyed it. So another small thing, we were talking earlier about 7V. There is actually a reference to 7V in this. I think it was Max Krzyzewski that coined it. So this him staking his claim, I suppose. I think it introduces quite effectively a lot of, sets up a lot of things for the finale that, you know, make you like really interested to see where that's going to go. With Hayden, they could have had him just be, you know, more of an antagonistic figure, but he is actually clear that, you know, he did love Valerie and it is, you know, he is like a nice person and whatever. And it sets those sort of a really interesting dynamic between Valerie and Rowanna and Hayden. That's, I think, very well done. There's one scene in particular I enjoyed which is just after when Valerie's died and they've discovered her body. And there's a bit where they're all talking about it, and the doctor, who we know is in the room because we heard him come in, but he's not saying anything. And generally in audio dramas, obviously you don't do that, in the same way that you don't, you know, if an actor's in a room, you make sure you shoot them occasionally, because otherwise people can get confused about whether he's there. But in this case, it just really works. That silence sort of really punctuates it. The fact that you know, sort of speaks to like the doctor's pain, because of course the 11th doctor would never openly talk about it. The fact that he's not saying anything and you're just aware that he's there, I think that works really well in that bit. If there was one aspect that maybe I would have liked to have seen explored a little bit more, it's maybe the aspect of the fact that Rowanna ends up getting sent back and spends ages like locked up in the Lockwood Foundation and sort of sees Valerie come back and Valerie and Hayden's relationship and things like that. That's one aspect that gets mentioned, and I think it gets mentioned again in Last Stand of Miss Valerie Lockwood, but it's not as fleshed out as the rest. But I suppose some things had to get lost. And I also think this was an episode, just judging by the backstage stuff where they talk about how the finale was originally something different and they had to redo it for whatever reason. This episode clearly, I think you might be able to tell there's a little bit of a pivot just with the fact that they have to re-explain the whole TARDIS thing and like it's not a Time Lord. I don't know if it originally was or what, but it feels like there's a small pivot there. But I think the episode actually handles it very well. So overall, yeah, I was really impressed with this, and I suppose like Rachana Patel, who I hadn't heard any of their stuff, I hadn't heard any Max Krzyzewski, and it's another name to keep an eye out after this. Because yeah, again, as I say, I was very impressed.
Yeah, it's definitely a name I want to see attached to more Big Finish. Definitely. It's I sort of do like the bit at the end where the Doctor is like absolutely convinced that this isn't Valerie, you know, robot or flesh avatar, that kind of thing. And just sort of like that kind of lovely 11th Doctor denial that we do get quite a lot of. I actually think sort of denial's a really big part of his character, which kind of explains his actions in, you know, Curiosity Shop and other episodes here. But yeah, it's a really, really good episode for the Doctor, for the 11th Doctor, and I think we get him just right here. I hope we do get more 11th Doctor stuff from Big Finish. Like, we know that Jacob Dubman's not doing it anymore. And we're just going to have to keep dreaming of the day that Matt Smith's available, which I think is still a long, long, long way away, unfortunately.
Yeah, I do wonder if I assume at some point they're going to recast the recast, because they've announced a new 12th Doctor is coming. We don't know when. I imagine it was, yeah, I guess the problem they have with the 11th Doctor is that this series was so well received that not only will the new guy get, you know, the expected, oh well, it's not Matt Smith, is it? They might also get that, oh well, it's not the Jacob Dudman stuff, you know, it's not the Valerie stuff, is it? Which is, you know, even more of a, you know,
Yeah, I think in the case
something
of
weighing on them.
quite a few recasts actually, Big Finish have been a victim of their own success. Like we're kind of at a point now where we can't really have Polly and Ben stories because we had such a good Ben. And now we're sort of apparently they are looking at recasting Ben again. Which I would, you know, I hope happens. I really like that TARDIS team. Sort of the early Second Doctor team. But yeah, again, it's just that question of, well, a standard for the recast has been set, let alone the original. And yeah, I think we've got the same problem here. But that was a nice little aside. But let's move on. Let's move on to Sins of the Flesh, which is, like I said before, it's not sort of massively attached to the storyline. It's a good one for Valerie, this, because, you know, Valerie, as we know, is a cyborg and the Cybermen are the Cybermen. And part of me does wonder, did we need to crowbar a Cyberman story into this series? And it does kind of feel as though we've done this one so we can have a Cyberman on the cover. It feels like the box is being ticked. However, it's a really, really, really good ticking of the box. And I'm really, really glad that we have got a Cyberman story in here, because it really does play on the whole, like, bad religion, conversion therapy type thing. And it's, when you think about it, it's a perfect thing for the Cybermen to get sort of worked into. We actually get a very different, very interesting Cyberman story here. It would have been very easy to just have them stomping around and being grumpy Cybermen, but actually we get quite a bit more out of them, and they're used as an effective villain. And we explore, you know, concepts that we haven't explored with Cybermen before. So, like I say, my initial reaction was, Cybermen, do we have to? Because it was quite clear that they weren't sort of really involved with the storyline. But actually, it's I think it works quite nicely. I think this is a really, really good episode. And, you know, there are some great moments for Valerie as well. So what are your thoughts?
First off, I guess this was mentioned last time, but it'd be a good time to point out that this was Thomas' favourite of the series. So I'll just point that out while he's absent. So I assume he thought it was very, very good. So on my thoughts on it. So I think you mentioned this thing about having the Cybermen there and it being a box ticking exercise. I think it was, in the sense that I believe this is true. Someone correct me if not. That Jacob Dudman, because this was his final series, was asked for one baddie that he wanted to face, and he said the Cybermen, specifically the Cyber Swans. So I think this actually was sort of fulfilling that request. So having that, I think this is an excellent use of them. It's, you know, when someone mentions it, it's such like, oh yes, that's such a great use of the Cybermen. And we get an episode here that is clearly, you know, wants to discuss that issue and is, you know, quite angry about it often. And it leads to, you know, a very compelling and quite a sad story in some cases. I think it handles it very well. You've got all this, you feel really horrible for the people that are in there, especially those that are, you know, struggling with the sort of the denial of it and that, you know, that kind of want to be converted into Cybermen almost just because of the amount of hate they've received so far from, you know, their families and what have you. There's a nice bit of where a girl goes up to Valerie and starts talking about the time when she kissed her friend, which is really quite heartbreaking because she clearly wants, you know, some level of understanding or whatever, but she can't even really admit that to herself. And overall, I think it treats the whole subject matter very well. And then on top of that, or actually slightly more to that point, it's mixture of, you know, a Doctor Who story, but with these very, you know, pressing issues. This is something that does still happen in parts of the world. It kind of, people have been asking, you know, what Big Finish stories could you see adapted into the main show? And I actually would say this one. It wouldn't have surprised me that much to see something akin to this in RTD2 or something, because it feels like that it kind of fits Russell C. Davis's MO of doing, you know, these issues in a sci-fi context. And then on top of that, I did just find it to be like quite an exciting episode of Doctor Who, just a very good Cyberman story. We get Valerie ripping the head off a Cyberman, which is certainly sort of quite an iconic part for her. I did feel a bit sorry for the converted Cyberman who has to get get their head ripped off, but I suppose, as I said in the episode, they'd sadly already gone. But it also manages, while being this you know, quite thoughtful piece, does manage to slip in like a canon reason for why the Cybermen, you know, the Nightmare and Silver Cybermen are so much more upgraded. It's because they've taken Valerie's upgrades for when they, you know, when they take her on their ship, which is a fun little Big Finish-esque addition. I do like that. As long as the story isn't weighed down by it, kind of thing. And then it keeps, as you said, this isn't tied directly into the finale, but it keeps the sort of the more dour tone going that we get from the revelations of All's Fair. And so it sort of follows on in that regard. And there is a bit of a discussion in it about, you know, Valerie having died or whatever. And overall, yeah, I just find it a really effective episode. I can see why it was Connor's favourite and a lot of people's favourites. I think it's very well done.
Yeah, very well done and rightfully very well received. And it's, you know, I sort of said from All's Fair, that's it. We are kind of in a finale cycle. This is kind of a little bit of a break from the storyline, but certainly not a thematic break. You know, we are still, like you say, that dour tone is still there and there's still sort of lots and lots of very horrible things happening, which is a running theme of this series. Like, a lot of nasty things happen to characters we care about. So, the next episode is absolutely heading into finale territory. It's Didn't You Kill My Mother? And this is the one that starts to wrap things up. This is where we sort of, everything is sort of pulled together. You know, we sort of learn a little bit more about the Dorinthian blight. Good grief. The Dorinthian blight. There we go. Said it. And the surge and that kind of thing. It all sort of starts to get explained here. And I also think the way that it sort of begins to foreshadow the Daleks as the big bad of the series without actually featuring them, I think it's really well done. I actually quite like the idea of, well, all of these terrible things have happened, but when you think about it, they're not that terrible because they were done in an attempt to stop the Daleks, which is something that challenges the Doctor, obviously, and ties in really nicely to the War Doctor stuff that, again, the series was doing around the time all of these episodes are set. Also introduces us to Tim, who, if I have got this right, was a sort of TARDIS-like thing created by the Cult of Skaro. And it's a really interesting idea. And again, it's sort of left in a way where you think, okay, we're going to see this in the finale. And indeed, we do. Yeah, this feels like the episode that starts to bring everything together. We've had a very sort of sprawling storyline. We've known that a lot of things are going to be particularly relevant. And this episode starts off fairly low-key with the Doctor being sort of an arbiter and Valerie going after Mrs. Hendricks. And, you know, Mrs. Hendricks, probably a very underappreciated character. I actually quite like the way she's handled throughout this series. Starts off fairly low-key. You get kind of the whole office, bureaucracy, politics type thing. And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, we're like, oh no, wait a minute, the Daleks are on the way and all of this is happening and here's this ridiculous piece of time technology and all of the a lot of the villains we've encountered so far are actually very relevant and all sort of tied into this upcoming Dalek story that we're going to get. So yeah, the only sort of thing I think I'd have liked is if we'd have known a little earlier in the series that the Daleks were going to be the big bad. Now, obviously, as Big Finish listeners, we did know Daleks were going to be the big bad in this set from the moment the cover art was released and the story details were released. It would actually have been quite interesting, I think, to have had the Daleks sort of mentioned, foreshadowed earlier on. Maybe there'd have been opportunity for that in All's Fair. I don't know. But again, it's just another tiny little structural niggle. It seems that the Daleks.
I think there actually is a quick mention in All's Fair of the Daleks. I think that's their first mention. When Arabella Hendricks comes back, I think she mentions the Daleks, and that the monsters were originally an antidote to fight off the Daleks, Dalek proof.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Maybe I missed that in All's Fair. Possibly. I do wish it had been floated just a little bit earlier, seeded a bit earlier, because it just feels like lots and lots of grim adventures of the Doctor and Valerie, and oh, by the way, Daleks are in it now, right at the end. Yeah, just it's tiny little structural niggle, but, you know, we could have known we were building towards Daleks. However, that doesn't really take away from the fact that we are now heading into a pretty damn good Dalek-y sort of finale. And it's, I mean, this fourth set kind of does play with the format a little bit. You know, there's the final two episodes are billed as a two-parter, but you can also argue that this, Didn't You Kill My Mother, and Daleks Victorious all completely tie into this same finale. You can argue that it's a four-part finale, or you can argue that Daleks Victorious and the last two episodes sort of function a little bit like Utopia and Sound of Drums, Last of the Time Lords. So, yeah, it's I like the fact that we are just thrust into it now, and we're on a sort of trajectory series of events type of thing. So, Didn't You Kill My Mother? What do you think, Will?
Yeah, I found this episode to be quite good. I think, you know, a lot of the stuff I would say, I think you've already mentioned, in that I think it sets up the finale pretty well. I think that Tim is an interesting character. So, yeah, this idea that given that TARDISes are living things, they would therefore send in basically a spy TARDIS is a nice idea. And I like, another thing I like is, I think you've got this office stuff at the beginning, this slightly weird sort of corporate plane that the Doctor finds himself in. I like that Dudman sort of pitches his performance a little bit to make it, you know, a little bit less doctory, a little bit more like a, you know, a guy who's working his 9 to 5. I think that's done quite effectively. It quite nicely wraps up like the Arabella Hendricks stuff, I think. We do see her again once more, but that's in her past, you know. So, whereas of course we see the last of her here. She's done away with in this one. And yeah, I overall remember thinking I thought this one was good, but I do admit that since having listened to it, this is probably the one that I sort of remember the least overall. Not that I thought it was bad in any way, but just that it potentially grabbed me slightly less. I think one potentially big reason for this is that we've spoken, you know, especially in the last episode, we've waxed lyrical on how good Safia Ingar is, and they're incredible throughout this whole series, but they probably get the least to do in this episode, so that's probably one aspect where you know, you just maybe think, could there have been slightly more for Valerie in this? But then again, it's just a very Doctor-centric episode, so there's not really much you can do on that regard.
Kind of strange, considering it's called Didn't You Kill My Mother, a reference to Valerie's mother.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It is kind of, not Valerie light, but you're right, she has less to do. But yeah, it's just kind of a weird episode to have doing that. But again, as I said before, it starts as one thing and kind of becomes another quite quickly.
Yeah. And so overall, I thought it was a good episode that I think sets up the final three parts well. We can then sort of jump in. But one thing it does, I think, is that it does present, which I think you touched on as well, it does present a pretty good argument going forward of, you know, you can try and, you know, always do the right thing and always try and run from the Daleks, but are people going to get hurt, you know, who wouldn't necessarily have, if we'd have followed Tim, or if we'd have done what Arabella Hendricks wanted or whatever. And it sets it up quite nicely, because of course we are going to see that in the finale. We're going to see the Doctor, you know, really tested going forward. So yeah, I think it that's an aspect that it sets up well, I think, yeah. And just overall, pretty good episode.
Yeah, it kind of wraps some things up and moves some of the pieces into place, and it, end of this episode, it does feel like we're ready to head into the big epic finale now. And, you know, big epic finales at Big Finish are, they can be variable, let's say. You know, some have landed better than others. And I have to admit, I was slightly nervous going into this because we've had some quite low-key stuff in this series. A lot of the stuff has been very character-focused, very low-key. And I was slightly concerned we were going to throw all of this away to have a big, epic, shouty Dalek finale. And we don't. Everything is balanced perfectly. So let's move on to Daleks Victorious. Now, this was the one that I said was my favourite of the run. And I do look at this as I said before, a bit of a utopia to the final two episodes, Sound of Drums and Last of the Time Lords. And it just basically, the Daleks turn up, all hell breaks loose. It all goes a bit wrong for Roanna's home planet, Medruth. And, it's the end of this episode that really stands out to me, where you just sort of hear the Daleks being very Daleky and very horrible and killing a lot of people. And it's sort of communicated via sort of communicators. I could have worded that better. And you just hear the Doctor listening into all of this and basically just having a, oh God, I'm going to have to be the War Doctor again moment. And it's just wonderful. It's some of the most atmospheric stuff I've ever heard from Big Finish. And Dudman absolutely nails it. It's just this sort of really, really intense, slow build up of a cliffhanger that really does leave the Doctor challenging himself and having a, oh God, I'm just going to have to be that not Doctor person again. I love it. I just think it's so, so, so well done. It's a very grim episode. Lots of people die. Lots of terrible things happen. And it's just because this is a post-Time War Dalek Empire at its peak. I think this episode's absolutely great because I just think it's Daleks done very, very right, and it's the introduction to a finale done very, very right, and it's the 11th Doctor done very, very right. What about you, Will?
This is another one that I really enjoy. This is, I think, my favourite of the set. I'd already mentioned previously that another really good thing about this series is that it has introduced me to some writers where I hadn't heard any of their stuff before, and then I was, you know, gave me someone else to look out for, and that's the same for Felicia Barker. I think she's done really well here. There's some great dialogue, and it's just a great dynamic episode. And I think she wrote The Short Trip that has Valerie in it, the Galois group that I own, but I haven't. I haven't heard yet, so at least I've got one more Valerie story to listen to. I think if we were, if there was one, you know, thing, one criticism you do see sometimes of the Matt Smith era, because so far this has done a really good job of sort of reflecting the feel of that era while also feeling, you know, still new in its own right. If there was one criticism, it might be of the Daleks. And it feels like this finale answers some of those criticisms a little bit, in the sense of, you know, we get the memory of the Doctor is wiped from the Daleks in Asylum, and then the next time we see them, they remember him again immediately, which of course this whole finale is about. It actually says that was a terrible idea because it meant that the Daleks assumed they won the Time War and stopped squabbling and, you know, stopped being afraid and started taking over the universe, which is just a really great idea. It also, you know, the way the paradigm Daleks sort of disappear, this starts to explain it. And Mick Briggs actually does a great job of differentiating between all these Daleks. You can tell which one is which. The strategist and the scientist sound slightly similar, but also they speak in very different ways. So I think Briggs does a brilliant job here. He's my favourite Dalek voice anyway. I don't know if that's sacrilegious to, you know, to some people, but he's really good here. And then the other one, I suppose, was that in the Matt Smith era, the Daleks just aren't that brutal. Like, I don't know, do the Daleks kill anyone on screen in the Matt Smith era? I seem to recall that being a thing. There might be one or two. So here, we get Daleks at their most brutal. Like, sometimes it is good to just get a story where the Daleks show up and they, you know, they just start destroying everything, they kill everyone, and it works very effectively here of setting up the conflict later on. There is some, I think, some pretty shocking stuff in it. Like, I, you know, the part where it seems like at the very least, you know, we've had Hayden sacrifice himself already, and you know, they've lost the planet, but they've at least managed to get this one ship away with Hosta and piloting or whatever. And then it just says no, and that's not what happened, and the Daleks destroy it. It's actually quite shocking, and it really works quite well at building this intensity towards the finale. So yeah, you've mentioned the cliffhanger. The cliffhanger's really good, really well performed, really well produced, just exactly the kind of thing you'd want to go into these final two episodes. So yeah, overall, I think lots of great performances. Rowanna basically taking up the companion role at this point, because of course she is in the rest of the series. And I think she does. I think she's very good in this, and actually throughout the rest of it. And yeah, it manages to balance some really exciting, action-packed sort of dynamic stuff, while also keeping some, you know, a more emotional core. And there's some really good dialogue in this as well. And yeah. Oh, and one final thing. It actually, you know, it makes the decision on what the Eternal does, which is a very sensible choice, I think. You know, it's the one that kind of remembers the Daleks, and, you know, tries to keep the this idea, this Dalek narrative, pure, as it were. And I think yeah, all in all, it basically succeeds at everything it's trying to do.
Yeah, it could very easily have been the one where things started to go wrong. This, like, on paper, it's an episode with an awful lot to do with a villain that, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the world that doesn't think the Daleks are overused at this point. and the same as it did with the Cybermen, it just manages to do something, in this case, not necessarily different, but something we've not really seen before, which is something interesting with the Paradigm Daleks. And, you know, you're right, we do sort of differentiate between them a lot better than was ever done on the screen. In the 11th Doctor era, it's kind of a shame that the Paradigm Daleks were dropped as an idea. I kind of wish we'd have had something with them, but this suitably makes up for that. And, you know, the idea of the Eternal gets played with a little bit more in the next couple of episodes, which it, you know, it's good. You know, at the end of the day, when they were making Series 5, the Eternal was just a cool name and nobody really knew what it did. I don't think Moffat and Gatiss ever really figured this out, did they? This kind of actually does something with it. So we've got a two-part finale, and that's how we're going to look at it. So it's The Last Stand of Miss Valerie Lockwood and Victory of the Doctor. Now, this is the one that really does play into the whole Valerie's going to die thing. Like, you know, I think the summary for this was just RIP Valerie Lockwood or something like that, wasn't it?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, the blurb was basically just Valerie's dead now.
RIP Valerie Lockwood, 6th of October, 5324, 1st of May, 1893, yeah.
You see, I'd like to think that you committed that to memory, but I suspect you're probably on TARDIS Wiki.
I was on my, I re-downloaded them onto the Big Finish app. So.
Fair enough.
I'm not quite that
exact
level
dates
of
committed to memory.
Remembering all the synopses, yeah.
But yeah, no, I do remember very specifically this one sort of heavily teasing Valerie's death, which we've already seen in the previous set. But I did kind of wonder if this episode was actually going to end with some kind of permadeath you know, that then led to the Doctor going off on one in Victory of the Doctor. And it's absolutely not what happens. And I'm glad it's not what happens, because some of the character work, particularly at the start of Victory of the Doctor, is just brilliant. The Doctor sort of trying to swan off and destroy the Daleks and leaving Valerie and Rowanna behind and not getting to do so. And it's a huge finale, this is, and it really does tie in. The work it does to tie in everything that we've seen throughout the series is just, it's so impressive how it manages to just balance all of it, absolutely everything, and tell an absolutely brilliant story where actually it takes the Doctor a long time to have his victory. Like, it takes him a few attempts to basically wipe out the Daleks. And it's sort of great to see him just getting more and more desperate and struggling more and more. And, you know, obviously eventually we get there because we do need to have the happy ending. And it does have a happy ending. Like, another thing this has to do is obviously sort of conclude Valerie's travels with the Doctor, and I'm so glad it does it without killing her. We get our happy Valerie and Rowanna ending, and it's good to see the relationship between these two characters develop and go completely wrong, but get his happy ending. It's something that is handled pretty well throughout the series. Just in terms of an audio production, this is absolutely wonderful. Like, the script is brilliant, the performances are brilliant, the music's brilliant. Am I right in thinking that Borna Matosik did the whole series?
Borna Matosik did everything from Broken Hearts onwards, I believe.
Right, so the first half wasn't. But yeah, it's just absolutely everything in this just all ties together to give us really good, epic audio Doctor Who, and I hope that whenever Big Finish is concluding any other runs with a big, epic finale, this is kind of what they look to as the standard, because it's just, I'm struggling to think of anything that I like more. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, we have had some absolutely brilliant series finales from Big Finish. You know, I really liked the way forgotten its name, Dalek Universe. I really liked the way Dalek Universe ended. I really liked the way the sort of first four Gallifrey Time War sets ended. We had a really good final episode there. But this, I think this is probably the best finale Big Finish have done in the sort of box set series era. Talk to us, Will, one last time about The Last Stand of Miss Valerie Lockwood and Victory of the Doctor.
This finale is really good, and just a really rewarding finale. Like, I did see some people who I think are just big Paradigm Daleks fans being like, can I only listen to set four? And it's like, no, you have to listen to the first three sets, because it won't make much sense. But also, this final story, you know, if you've heard everything up to this, it's really just a really good send off. To get more into like the details, I really like the opening of The Last Stand of Miss Valerie. The Last Stand of Miss Valerie, which is a fantastic episode throughout, but the opening's great. We really see everyone at their lowest point. We're reminded of the Dorinthian Blight, which is very good, because we've seen it before, but obviously it's going to play into the finale quite a lot, and so it does it quite well here. The addition of Rowanna is good here for the rest of the series, because she's someone that doesn't quite trust the Doctor, and it helps add this little extra thing to the dynamic going forward. And basically, the Last Stand, we're really now in the first part of our big epic finale, and this is the last pieces of setup, with also quite a lot of payoff. And there's so many just great emotional stuff in this, like Valerie and Rowanna getting engaged, and all the things that Valerie has to go through to, you know,
to get through this whole episode. The bit where she, towards the end of the episode, where this sort of offshoot Valerie is going back to Chicago, and she sort of, it's just a very small bit, but she just sort of realizes that this is it and she is going to die, is done really well by Safia Ringar. They're just immense in this whole episode. It's one of their best performances, and they gave fantastic performances throughout. So yeah, it's all done really well, really effectively. I guess if there was one thing, and it's not really much you can do about it, but obviously this episode has the bit where we learn that it was Valerie who chose to hand over the Dorinthian Blight to Arabella Hendrix, and in doing so, obviously, that causes her mother's death. And because of the way this is set up, because it has to be apparently Tim that hands it over, the actual decision where Valerie decides to do that is not being acted by Safi Engar, it's being acted by Homer Toddywaller. And he does it very well, but obviously you lose a little bit, perhaps, of the emotion of it, just because it's not the Valerie that we've known throughout this whole series. But aside from that, I think it's just a brilliant, like, emotionally charged episode throughout, which leads us into Victory of the Doctor, which is something of like a victory lap, as it were. It's just a great to see everything come together, and just to see you know, all of this, the culmination of everything that we've seen so far. And it does bring in a lot of stuff from previously in the series, and it uses it all very well. Some highlights, I think, would be the way that they handle the Dalek paradigm, which they do by, you know, they give each of them sort of a punishment related to what they do. So you've got the Supreme is made to feel powerless, and the Strategist isn't listened to, and the Scientist is experimented upon, and you've got with the Eternal and the Time Spider is really a really well done scene, from both the production standpoint and Dudman and Briggs. It's all just done really well. I like the bit of levity at the beginning, the sort of the cold open with the Dalek officiating the wedding. There's actually been a lot of great cold opens in this series. And yeah, it just moving towards, you know, the very end, I think the twist, as it were, that where we learn that the Daleks have broken out and taken over the whole universe, and then we find out that actually they're still in the Archeon device. I mean, I think I saw it coming, but I also think they kind of expect you to see it coming. They don't actually think that you're going to believe that the Daleks have taken over the universe. So, yeah, I think it's all done really effectively. And then we do get, it is the Dorinthian Blight, which was, you know, set up in episode one, is ultimately the thing, through the wedding rings of Valerie and Ruana, being the thing that destroys the Daleks, is just really well done. It's just a great idea, done very well. And then we get a little bit of an epilogue, which I think the series has earned. You know, we get the wedding, we get these final goodbyes, and the 11th Doctor, but also clearly sort of the 11th Doctor talking about his journey and his journey going on, but also it clearly being Jacob Dudman. I think, you know, he's earned that. I think he's done excellently in this series and with his other work with Big Finish and whatever. And it's just a nice sort of ties a bow over the whole era. And it's a really satisfying finale to a really great series. Yeah,
I think you're right about just that little epilogue being earned. And it has been a really, really good series. And it's there isn't anything like it, anything else like it at Big Finish. I hope we get more. Like I say, I hope that this series is viewed as a template that can be built on. And, you know, it does use new writers. It does do interesting things with established villains who we have, you know, 10,000 identical stories. No, that's not fair at all. But, you know, we have a lot of very similar Dalek stories. The Daleks do Dalek-y things. The Cybermen do Cybermen-y things. And in this, that's just, it's changed a little bit. You know, we get to see Paradigm Daleks being the big Dalek Empire that we told they were, but never actually got to see on screen. the Cybermen do interesting things, and we also have some interesting new threats and villains that do more than just pop up in the episode they're in. You know, Dorinthian Blight, it's there right at the start, and it goes right through to here. I think the other thing that this series has done exceptionally well is be Moffat-y. It's not simple. It's not straightforward. It is timey-wimey. It does play with the idea of time travel as a concept, as opposed to just the thing that gets the setting to be different to last week. This whole series has just been a huge achievement. And considering, you know, we went into it with no actors that have played regulars on TV, you know, a lot of writers that we'd maybe had the odd short trip from, but hadn't really heard much from before, and it just comes out as a success. I don't think it's perfect, but then again, I don't really think much of, if any at all, Doctor Who is perfect. But what I think we've got here is something that's bold and different and experimental, absolutely a tribute to the era that it is set in. Everyone involved with it should be really thoroughly proud, because it's an absolutely wonderful series of Doctor Who that I wish we had something similar to on screen, actually. Not that I have a problem with Series 7. I quite like Series 7, but this just, it scratches an itch that maybe the 11th Doctor's era left. Any sort of final words on the series before we sign off, Will?
Yeah, I just think this has been a brilliant, cohesive series. I always worry a bit with, like, overhype, like, you know, that you hear that, because when I started listening to this series, it was quite early on and there was some buzz about it, but we'd only had the one set and things like that. So now people coming in, you know, will hear everyone saying that it's amazing or whatever, and maybe they'll get, you know, overhyped about it, and they'll hear it and they're just like, oh, well, you know, this is, you know, some pretty good Doctor Who, but is it that great? And I just think the thing about this series is that it's not going to, you know, completely change what you think you knew about sci-fi, but what it is just some really great, cohesive feeling collection of Doctor Who stories, just really enjoyable. They just give you that feeling you want from a Doctor Who story, where it's just feels very rewarding to have listened to the whole thing. And as you say, credit to everyone involved, you know, Jacob Dudman, Zafir Ingar, Alfie Shaw, they've all done incredible stuff throughout this series, and I think it's been just a roaring success.
I think that's a very fair point, actually. It's you're right, it doesn't reinvent sci-fi, it just does very good Doctor Who, and sort of plays in a toy box that Doctor Who maybe doesn't venture into particularly often. But yeah, it's just good, solid quality Doctor Who that has something interesting to say. So yeah, really, really good run. Well, it's been great talking with you about it, and of course Connor in the first episode as well. We'll have to maybe pick on another run of adventures and talk about those sometime soon. But thank you for joining me, Will.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been, you know, really fun to go through this series, which, as I say, you know, I've enjoyed a lot, so it's been nice to discuss it with someone, yeah.
Absolutely. We'll go away and find another series we can pick on, but in the meantime, we'll say goodbye, and we will be back for more Spodcasting soon. Goodbye now.